not late, too late. You guys can continue responding, and we'll answer questions throughout the show. But we're going to go ahead and just kind of get it kicked off. And like I said, I am Ebony Speaks. I am your mental coach, your health coach, and also your CPR coach. And you guys can reach me here at Meek Minds or on my website, www.ebonyspeaks.com, or follow me on Instagram or Facebook at Ebony Speaks. And life is what I am about, and life is what I speak, and life is what I like to teach, because life is very important to me. And we're going to go ahead and let Miss Tisley get the talking. As you can see, my voice is gone, so she's going to do a lot of talking. She didn't know that today. She didn't know that.
I didn't know that. No. Do I need to have that
on? You can. It's up to you. It doesn't matter. It's totally up to you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine. But, yeah, she's going to do a lot of talking.
Okay.
But I have my tea.
All right.
So hopefully it won't go out completely.
Let's hope not. No. Because we want to hear your voice, too.
Look, you going to hear it ugly or not. I'm talking.
Right.
All right. So go ahead and just kind of tell us about yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah. So I'm Dr. Tisley Medley, or Dr. T. I am a psychologist here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and my specialty right now is life coaching.
Okay.
I have been in higher education for several years. I think it's been about 20 years or so.
Okay.
And so my history in higher education has informed a lot of the work that I do. I'm also licensed as a professional counselor and marriage and family therapist.
Awesome. Y'all heard that. Marriage and family.
The
marriage
coaching.
Family.
And family.
Marriage.
Then family. Right. So the coaching that I do a lot of times is very relational. It's informed by systems approaches and looking at how people interact with the people that they care about a lot of times.
And we definitely need that.
Yes, I know, right? And so also with that, I kind of focus on what I like to call superpowers, and changing people's narratives around their superpowers and really helping people to align their life with their values.
Superpowers. Yeah. Hold on, wait. Don't mean to interrupt, but superpowers.
Yeah.
What is superpowers?
So, you know, we all have some sort of superpower.
Okay.
Many of us have more than one,
uh-huh.
right? But a lot of times we either are not aware of what our superpower is.
Okay.
We discount our superpower. Our superpower is the thing that makes us unique, the thing that connects us to other people. So one of my superpowers, the main one that I like to focus on, is my ability to take things that people think are complex and make them more simple, more digestible for people to understand.
Okay.
So that they can kind of take it in, and something that you may have been a little resistant to at first, I'll explain it and be like, oh yeah, you know, that actually does make sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we all have something like that that makes us special, makes us unique, and is our connection to the world.
Oh, I'm gonna go around. I have a superpower. Like, I was my husband. I have a superpower.
Yeah, you do. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not Superwoman. I have a superpower.
Right.
To go with that being Superwoman.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that superpower.
Yeah.
You just don't know how you just. I have never heard of that word.
Yes, take it.
Superpower. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, you know, your approach to helping people as far as their health and that's your superpower. Plus, you know, you have other ones. So speaking obviously is a superpower, and usually it's, you know, pretty customized. Like, you don't just speak to people, but you touch people, you connect with them emotionally, right? So, you know, you can make
y'all
a list of your superpowers.
Hashtag superpower, hashtag Dr. Tisley. Go ahead and hashtag.
Let's go ahead
and start that.
Yeah.
Hashtag superpower. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Good.
We going to do some icebreaker questions.
Okay.
I like to play games. Sorry.
Uh-oh.
That's the kid in me. Everyone got a little kid in them, and this is the kid in
me.
So, don't look at my questions.
Okay,
don't
I'm not looking at my questions.
All right. So, first question is, country girl or city girl? And tell us why.
Oh, ooh-wee. So, I would say I'm more of a city girl.
Okay.
Can I ride the fence? Can I be like half and half?
Look at you.
I'm a little bit more of a city girl, and the main reason why is I don't like being hot and I don't like bugs.
And you stay in Texas.
And so, you know, I grew up in the country, and so I can do without that most days. So
I'm
a little bit more of a city girl.
She said she's still gonna straggle it a little bit.
A little bit.
When it comes to
exactly. I like a little bit of red soda and watermelon on a summer day, you know, so.
Yeah, because it ain't strawberry, it's red.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, well then, let's see. What is like a greatest accomplishment thus far, like present day, that you can think of?
Ooh, wee. That's hard.
And you can't hit the button and say pass.
Okay, I can't pass. Really, I feel like my greatest accomplishment so far has just been being a parent. Uh-huh. And, you know, it sounds kind of cliche, but I was in an interview a few years ago, and one of the questions that was asked was, well, you know, I used to be a psychology instructor. Well, technically, I still am part-time. A psychology instructor, and so one of the classes that I taught was human development, right? Mm-hmm. So you learn all about, from birth to death, mm-hmm. what humans go through, how we change. And so one of the questions was, you know, what was that like, you know, and did the knowledge that you had about human development impact you once you actually had a kid? And honestly, it did. Okay. So, you know, it really made me, one, realize why understanding some of that stuff was so important, but it also helped me to see how, you know, there's a lot of things that you can write in a book, mm-hmm. but real life can be different. Yep. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. you can learn parenting techniques and, you know, how to create this perfect child. But in reality, life is just life. And you just have to learn how to expect the unexpected when it comes to kids. And they really push your vulnerability. So
they
have to be okay with being vulnerable and saying I'm sorry and making mistakes.
You really do.
You know, and I'm a perfectionist. So I'll tell people that, yes, all day long, unfortunately. But having a child really, you know, stretches that part of you.
Yeah.
So for me, that's really been my biggest accomplishment because it has really forced me to grow so much. Yeah, you know, they say there's no book on parenting, right? There really is not. Like, if you know the theory behind it, mm-hmm. the practicality of it and the actual following through is so much different.
And that's what I like that you said that whenever, because I teach CPR. Mm-hmm. So I tell people, you know, actually teaching CPR versus doing CPR is way different.
Right.
I can teach you, you know, the guidelines on what to do, how to do, but when you're actually doing it, mm-mm. it's way different.
You got all these emotions. Ooh, mm-mm.
Yeah. So, you know, and I tell them, I said, the only way you get good at it is by practicing, but who wants to practice?
Right.
You know, but at the same time, you want to know what to do in case for those situations because CPR is not scheduled. You know, you just can't say, oh, you need CPR today, I'm going to do it.
Right.
You know, it's not scheduled, so you need to be ready to do it at any moment, any mm-hmm. second of your life. Just always be, you know, prepared to do that.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah. Very simple.
You know, there is a book on parenting. No.
Yeah.
And I always tell parents, I say, you're not a parent until you get boo-booed on or peed on. Then you're a parent.
Right.
You're a parent. If that has not happened to you, you are not officially a parent. Like, no, you're not a parent yet. Just wait. And they're like, I get spit up on. No. Until you have to change your clothes with your baby.
Right.
You're not a parent. All right. So, say there was a crayon box.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed one more color in that crayon box. What color would you add to that crayon? A moment of silence.
Okay. So I'm very. I like to follow rules. So.
Okay.
So if I only had to choose one color, it would be blue. But ideally, if you didn't give me any restrictions, I would. You remember those crayons that would have like different colors inside of them?
They so kind of like little fat, like what they kind of.
Yeah, there's kind of like rain, like it would have different colors where you could, you know, you turn it on this side.
Being on the fence.
Well, You know what the therapist in me, whenever I was teaching, my students would always ask questions. I'd be like, well, it depends. And they got tired of me saying it depends. But really, it does, because no two people are alike.
Right.
No two situations are alike.
Yeah.
And so I want to be able to have the ability to use whichever color is applicable for that situation. So I want a little rainbow crayon. And since you didn't tell me I couldn't in your
room. Right. I didn't. I didn't give you any rules. So.
Yeah. But that's why, because I like to be prepared. So, yeah.
Miss Perfectionist. Yes.
You're learning. There you go. Yeah.
All right. So let's break it all the way down. Let's get a little girly girly.
Uh-oh. Okay.
If you had to be a type of dress, what type of dress would you be?
Ooh, a type of dress. Ooh, that's a tough one.
And I know some of you ladies out there watching, what type of dress would you want to be?
Right. So,
these answers.
if I had to be a dress, now I would say I am not a girly girl, and so I don't like dresses.
Okay.
And I grew up, you know, initially I grew up in an old school church, and I think I was like one of the first people to try to wear some pants up in there.
And everybody was in the church. It was like, why are you looking at me?
So, yeah, dresses are not my choice. But if I had to wear one, it would be a long cotton dress, because I need to be comfortable. I need to be cool, because we're in Texas.
I need that.
And it would kind of flow a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I don't really want, like, the fitted all up on me type of dress. That's just not my style. So, yeah, it would be cotton, comfy, cool.
That's what, you know what I'm saying? What I like. So, I'm like, I'm not a girly girl.
Yeah,
all that tight fitting, got to put on a girl. I ain't got
time for it. Yeah.
We don't have time for it.
Mm-hmm.
Last question.
Okay.
Now, this one right here, I want you to think about it real, real, really hard.
Okay.
Now, once we get done with this show,
mm-hmm.
if you was to walk outside
mm-hmm.
and you saw a lottery ticket on the ground,
ooh.
$10 million. I'm speaking into existence.
Amen.
You saw it on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do about work? Go ahead, go and tell the truth. And don't say it depends. No, it don't depend.
No, this don't depend.
That money.
No, you know what I'm doing? I'm calculating in my head how much longer would I stay.
Oh my goodness.
Because I would stay a little bit, so I would call HR on Monday and be like, okay, so if I put in my 2-week notice, like, what does my retirement look like? So I would check that first.
Let me calculate it all.
And see, you know, how much longer I would need to stay for maximum benefit.
And make
but
sure.
I would definitely make plans to exit the building.
Say, I am exiting the premises. You don't have to escort me off.
I would, you said 10 million, right? Not just 10. 1 million?
No, 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we ain't doing no little one. Well, nowadays, one ain't good.
That ain't going to get you nothing. I can pay all the taxes. So, no. Yes.
Well, you say then you had 1 million, you end up with 100,000. I thought I had 1 million.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Mm-mm. We're gonna go ahead and do 10 million.
I have student loans to pay, as well as some other stuff, college funds.
I feel you.
Y'all would calculate first, so you know, be
and make sure that it ain't no fraud.
Exactly.
You go in HR. I'm not coming back, and you go and try to get that ticket.
Right. Yeah.
That ain't real.
Yeah. I would visit the lottery commission first, just to verify.
Make sure.
Yes.
Make sure y'all don't go in there and the HR acting a fool, and the ticket ain't even real. You done messed up.
You done messed up. Now.
You done burnt that bridge.
Say right. Mm-mm.
Yeah. You done burnt that bridge.
So yeah, I would make for sure before having that conversation with HR.
Good.
I share a little bit with you too, since you know you're the whole reason I'm here. Right?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Share the love. I would be like, oh, Ebony. I wouldn't tell you how much I won, though. I'm going to bless you.
You sure?
You can't say that.
No, because then I start calculating. She won 10 million.
She could have gave me, you know. Yeah.
She could have gave me hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
You right. That's all right. A little bit, I take it.
Yeah.
I take it. You know? I thank you for that. See, I done spoken into existence.
Amen.
I hope you hit on something or find something.
Right. One of us need to find that ticket. Yes.
Good. All right, so we're going to jump on into talking about some of these stigmas that we have. And I just want to start off by saying, I know I have a lot of fun, but mental health, it's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
It you know, just a little bit background about me for people who don't know, you know, I suffered through the mental health issues whenever I developed my heart condition after giving birth to my son. You know, I had that depression, mm-hmm. and I faked it. But that's what I did. You know, I did those cries at night, mm-hmm. when no one was around, everyone was asleep. Or I did those silent cries in the shower. You know, I just didn't sing in the shower by myself. I did those cries in the shower, you know. Yeah. And I faked it. And I see that it didn't do any justice for me, because at the end of the day, it was exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I knew for myself that it was a lie. My happiness was a lie. Even though my family was my happiness, but it was something that was still inside of me that I wasn't happy about, mm-hmm. because I had this condition that I was mad. I was angry inside, and yeah. I didn't know how to express it, because, you know, we're taught to be strong, and we're taught to basically put a Band-Aid on and keep on going. Right. And that's basically what I was doing in the daytime. You know, I would put that Band-Aid on, like everything was fine, and deep down inside, it wasn't.
Right.
And I thank God that I was able to break free of that, and that I did have, you know, people that I could go and talk to, not just family members, but, you know, even my doctors. I could go to them and I could talk to them about my depression, my anxiety, and, you know, things that was going on with me. Right. And a lot of people don't know this, and this is like the first time that I'm actually going to share this, is that whenever I had my mental breakdown, I was coming out of it, and then I caught it a relapse, mm. because of the fact that I ended up getting pregnant again, and mm. I wasn't supposed to get pregnant again, mm-hmm. because it was fatal.
Yeah.
So I end up. Sorry if I started crying. This seemed a little bit still emotional.
Yeah.
I ended up having to have a medical abortion. Mm-hmm. So that kind of like told me all the way back that, you know,
right.
and I had to just, I don't know, it was like a feeling that, for one, it's my religion, like, I don't believe in abortions, you know,
mm-hmm.
and like, I dealt with this, like, it's my life, like, do I have this abortion, or like, it was like, in my mind, I was like, am I giving up on my faith? You know, because right. I'm going to have to have this abortion. Am I not believing in God? And I know, mm-hmm. I'm like, I believe in God. I know where my faith is. But it's like, or will I be selfish if I have this, try to have this baby, and I already have three children, and then something happens to me,
right.
and my children and my husband's left without a mother and a father.
Right.
I mean, a mother and a wife.
Right.
So it was like, you know, all these emotions were just coming back at me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I tell people, you're not exempt from depression.
Right.
You, with me, going through everything, I learned how to deal with depression and not let it take over my life, because it was starting to take over.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it will.
Mm-hmm.
And it will. So that's what I like to do, like, with my coaching, as far as the mental side. Like, I tell people, you're not exempt from it.
Mm-hmm.
It will sneak up on you. But with my coaching, I teach you how to learn how to not so much deal with it or cope with it, because I don't want to say you just cope with it, because it's still like you're putting a Band-Aid on,
mm-hmm.
it. But you learn tools and skills in order to come out of it, so you don't let it take over your life.
Right.
So those are like the things that I like to talk about when it comes to like my mental coaching, and, you know, and then with the life coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Life coaching, you know, is so broad.
Yes.
When it comes to life coaching, you can be a life coach, like you were saying, in relationship, marriage, and, you know, and families and things. And you can be a life coach with, you know, giving advice. You can be a life coach. Like, it's so broad.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I love about it, because you're not just down to one thing.
Yeah.
Because everyone, it doesn't fit just everyone. One thing
right.
does not fit
not
everyone.
Restricted. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, life coaching is not a diet. You know, when you're on a diet, you're like, you have to stick to this diet.
Right.
And it's like with life coaching, you can expand out, mm-hmm. and, you know, and touch the people that, you know, that understand you and you understand them. And that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's touching.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And
that really is a benefit of it.
It is.
Yeah.
And sometimes with clients, both of us, you know, snot nose crying, and I'm like, I'm supposed to be helping you, and you helping me. Like, it's like you I learn from my clients.
Yeah.
That's just it. Like, I don't think that I'm too above you. You know, and that's what I love about life coaching. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not above anyone because right. you're going through life right along with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
But we want to talk about those stigmas.
And yes.
break those stigmas because it's out there.
It's out there. Yes.
And people are afraid to talk about or in the need or saying, you know, they need a life coach.
Yeah.
They take it as a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing weak about asking for help.
Right.
Nothing at all. So we're going to get into some of those stigmas.
Okay.
So yeah. I said I wasn't going to do all this talking.
You didn't say that. But we knew you would anyway.
Of course. I'm able to speak. Come
right.
on.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, go ahead. We'll let you talk a little bit about it.
So, yeah, there's so much there. I think just kind of generally, life coaching often seems to have a little bit less stigma than counseling does or psychotherapy
yes.
does
mm-hmm.
in some ways. But, you know, I think there one of the things that I hear all the time now is, well, everybody's a life coach, which
mm-hmm.
kind of like, well, everybody's doing it. And so the people who are doing it aren't that good, which I think is unfortunate because, like you said, there is a lot of benefit out there with life coaching if it is someone who knows what they're doing and there is some value that they can add to you in your life.
And that's why it's important that even though, you know, you are a life coach or anything like that, put some education behind that.
Yeah,
helps. And that's why I went to school for, you know, to get certified as a health coach. Because
mm-hmm.
I was like, I want people to know that I'm serious about this and
right.
I'm not just, oh, I'm a health coach, I'm a life coach, I'm a mental coach. No, like, and I put school into this
yeah.
and, you know, you go to orientations. You go to different things that's going to, you know, brighten everything. And you learn more and more and more. You just don't sit at home like, I'm a life coach. I get it. You
just
know.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. You know, people are, you know, just able to just do that. But at the same time, and don't get me wrong, not saying that you go to school for it makes you that much smarter.
Right.
But to me, it's like, that's just my way of letting people know that I'm serious about it.
Right.
It's just me.
Right, that I've invested in it.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's one of the, I think the drawbacks, I'll say, when it comes to counseling and psychotherapy is there's a lot of counselors who've never been to counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that devalues the profession
mm-hmm.
if you can't say it's valuable if you've never taken advantage of it.
Uh-huh.
Or how can you help a person become more comfortable with a process that you've never been through?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, I think it's important if you're going to go into the counseling profession to actually experience it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And some graduate
Absolutely.
Programs require it and some don't. But the same way when it comes to coaching, either, you know, have training or to have gone through your own coaching so that you understand what that experience
right.
is like and what you have to offer.
Right.
And so, yeah, hopefully practitioners will see the value in that of going
mm-hmm.
through a process themselves so that they can help other people.
Yeah.
But generally thinking about these stigmas, I think some of it comes from just a lack of knowledge, just
mm-hmm.
a basic, you know, lack of knowledge about services. What does counseling look like? What do I have to do? How is it going to help me?
Mm-hmm.
Even down to the practitioners. Like, for example, I have two licenses. People often don't know the difference between, well, what does a counselor do versus what does a marriage and family therapist do?
Uh-huh.
Which you got a little bit more information about that one. But what's the difference between a psychologist and a counselor or a psychiatrist and a psychologist
uh-huh.
or a social worker, right? There's so many options.
Go ahead and break it on down.
It's hard for people to know. And, you know,
yeah.
even people within the profession are like,
mm-hmm.
well, what's the difference between social work and,
yeah,
you know.
It, yeah, you're absolutely
So
right.
when you have a lack of information, there is fear there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is or how to choose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, those of us in the profession really have to take it upon ourselves to help educate the community
yeah.
about what those options are
yeah.
and how best to help,
mm-hmm.
right? What fits that particular person's situation.
Yeah.
So that lack of knowledge, I think, is a really big piece of it.
That's, yeah. Yeah, we do need to just kind of, I don't know, I want to word this the right way. People, you know, they quick to go to Google.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Google has the answers. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you, when it come to school, Google do got some answers.
Google got some good answers too. Look.
Yeah, now when it come to school, you can find some good answers to help you out of those problems.
Mm-hmm.
But You know, people go to Google and, you know, they Google in stuff and, you know, they say, you know, a life coach, you know, they might find one and say a life coach is someone that helps you with, I'm just going to throw something crazy out there, learning how to walk your dog the right way. Uh-huh. And then they look at it like, I don't need help with learning how to walk my dog. So, okay, that's not for me.
Right.
It's like, well, that was the only thing that popped up, you know.
Right, that's not the only thing that can help you with.
Yeah, like, it can help you out with a lot. It's just that you have, it's just like women. When you go into a store, mm-hmm. you try to find the right clothes. You have to go and search for it.
Yeah.
You want to look nice, and you're going to try on those clothes right. to see if they fit you right.
Right.
So that's the same thing with trying to find a therapist, a counselor,
exactly.
a life coach, or a mental coach, or anything like that.
Yes.
You're going to have to search
try
for it
out.
To
yes.
yeah, try it
Do
out.
Some research. Mm-hmm. And how many people test drive more than one car before they buy a car?
Right.
You can do the same thing with a counselor.
You sure can.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all counselors are not the same. We have lots of different backgrounds, lots of different training, lots of different life experiences.
Yes.
And so it's just like any relationship.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You jump in with that person and it's not a good fit, find somebody else.
Jump out.
Right. But you know, some of us have difficulty ending relationships that aren't healthy. So
there she goes.
Which is why you should probably be in counseling, but that's a whole other. Get a little too deep with that one. But yeah, find somebody else. You know, whether it's your family practitioner, an OBGYN, a psychotherapist.
Yes.
If that person is not meeting your needs and providing value,
yes, but it's important that you get that help.
Right.
That's number one. Own it, embrace it. We all need some help in something. I don't care what it is. We need help in something.
Right.
That's going back to my daddy. That's pastor. He spell it. He say, I need some HELP.
All right.
We all need help.
That's right.
So you know, hey, we all need that HELP.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, just find it. You know, look for it. Don't just look for a quick fix.
Right.
You know, just go out. You own Google anyway.
Right.
So go ahead and keep Googling.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just look for that one stop shop. Oh, that one don't fit me. So you just cross all of it out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you sitting at home doing what I was doing, crying at night, putting a Band-Aid over it,
mm-hmm.
trying to fix it on your own, wondering why you can't fix it on your own. But yeah, you just, it's that circle. You just keep on going around and around and around. Stop trying to get that quick fix and invest it. It's an investment.
It is an investment. It's an investment of sometimes financial funds. It's an investment of time, definitely. It's an emotional investment.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
People, they don't want to invest, but it's your life.
Right.
You know, you're investing in your life. This is not my life. This is your life. Put that investment in your life. And then not even that, you know, if you have spouse or, you know, or children or anything like that, you're helping them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they want to see a happy mommy,
right.
a happy daddy.
A healthy, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, invest in it.
yeah.
And, you know, last week we talked about that fear, about people having, you know, that fear of opening up.
Right.
Just the fear of, like you say,
the fear of telling our story.
Yeah. Everyone closed down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have that close, and it's about speaking out. And that's speaking out.
Yeah.
It's the new medicine.
Yeah.
You know,
it really is.
Speak out about it. And because you don't know, you're helping someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so true. You are helping someone else. And I have learned so much throughout this whole journey of being a mental coach and life coach and health coach. And I mean, like, it's just so much is just opening up. And I'm just in amazement of everything that I'm able to learn, just not by just going to different networking or different seminars, but by just clients.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it's about. It's about helping out.
Yeah. But, you know, that fear is real. That fear of telling your story and people's perceptions, like, oh, what will they think of me when I start telling them
don't
this
care
stuff?
Care about it anymore.
You know, I think particularly for ethnic minorities, some of that fear is real, too.
Yeah.
You know, when you come in and you start telling people stories about your upbringing or your current life, and then now you've got a CPS report because this counselor is thinking you're abusing your kids, which I've seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's things like that or now you find yourself involuntarily committed to an institution mm-hmm. because of you decided to open up and try to yeah. get some help. So I think those are real fears sometimes that yes. people have. And part of that is, you know, helping professionals to be more informed mm-hmm. and to be more culturally affirming, yeah. Which is one of the topics that I speak on and train on quite a bit, because it's so important if African Americans and other people of color are going to get the mental help and physical help that they need. We need practitioners who are culturally informed.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Because, you know, just because I say, you know, I whoop my kids. Mm-hmm. Someone else, like you say,
right.
you have CPS knocking on your door, and it's like, well,
right.
in your mind, you're thinking that I'm, like, beating them.
Right.
And it's like,
well, you know, often that's the word we use.
Yeah.
I had to beat my kids last night.
Yeah, you're right.
A person who's not familiar with your culture hears that as, what? You beat your kids? There goes the CPS report. Right?
Like, and it's right. like, what? Typing.
Yeah. I've seen it happen. That's yeah. why I can speak
you're
on
right.
it.
You're
so,
right.
So, yeah, I mean, sometimes there is a real fear there. And for many of us, we don't know how to find practitioners who look like us. They're mm-hmm. out there. We're out there. Let
yeah.
me tell you.
Hey.
You know, practitioners Hello. Who look like us, who we feel like understand us. Mm-hmm. And depending on where people are located, it may be harder to find yeah. therapists who look like you.
Yeah.
So it's real problems out there with us getting access to help. And I think that's part of the stigma. If I'm afraid that I'm not going to really be able to get the help that I need,
mm-hmm.
then yeah, I'm just not going to
shut down.
Reach out for that resource.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna shut down.
Yeah.
yeah. And just fake it till I make it.
Fake it till I make it, yeah.
Yeah, and which is not healthy.
It's not. But I wanted to touch on something else that you said, because you mentioned your dad, right? Because Christianity is another piece of that stigma for us,
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately. And I've seen a couple of therapists post this more recently, like, you can talk to God and a counselor, right?
Yes.
Both can happen at the same time.
Yes.
So they're not mutually exclusive. Just because you go to a counselor doesn't mean you don't have faith. It doesn't mean you don't believe in God.
Yes.
You can do both.
Yes.
And in fact, I encourage you to do both. Right? Because
yes.
there are things a counselor can't help you with that only God can.
Yes.
And there are things that, well, I can't say God can't help you. But your pastor may not be able to help you
yeah.
with certain things that a counselor
yes,
actually can.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
How many
yes.
pastors actually have any kind of mental health training? Some
right.
do, but most don't.
Yeah.
So you've got to use both of those resources together if you believe, if
That's
you are
awesome.
A Christian.
I'm glad you hit on that. My sister actually sent me a message with that. You can have a pastor and you can have a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is okay.
Yeah.
And it was on a church billboard.
Mm.
So,
which is awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah, you can have both. Like you say, you recommend that you do. Look. For family reunions, y'all can't cook that food. One person in the kitchen cooking all that food. You're going to need some help, right?
I love it. Yeah.
You're going to need some
right.
help.
Right.
Same thing with your life.
With your life, yes.
You need some help. It's nothing wrong with needing help with your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get out there. The resources are out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's just a matter of you guys finding them. And
right.
you have two of them right here, right now.
Right. And it's just like we said, like, if you are of faith, if you identify as Christian, find a therapist who shares those values. They
yes.
are out there.
They
right?
are.
If that's what's important to you, then
yes.
you can also find a therapist who has those values.
Yes. All right, you guys. We are going to take a little break. I want you guys to continue putting in those questions, and we'll answer those questions once we come back from our break. So sit tight. Hold tight. Don't go anywhere. Just a little.
Don't leave.
No, don't leave. Uh-uh. Don't leave. Because we're still doing a breakthrough. Don't leave. So we'll be back in about 5 minutes. Talk to you. Anyway, just so we can kind of answer the questions that's going on. Because I don't like to talk and try to look at my phone at the same time. But I'm going to go ahead and answer a couple of questions. We had one saying, why do you think people don't speak out or need an assistance? So what do you think?
So some of the things we've already said, right? Believing that, you know, it's an un-Christian thing to do, to need that sort of help. Sometimes I think people don't know that they need help.
Yes.
Like, you know, I think so much of our trauma and dysfunction
mm-hmm.
has been normalized.
Yes.
We're like, well, you know, everybody goes through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm supposed to get help for that? Or there's
yes.
people that can help with that? And so, you know, someone who's crying all the time, they're just, well, I'm sad, I'm stressed. Like, they don't necessarily recognize there's an actual mental disorder here. If you're crying so much, you can't get out of bed and take a shower, or you can't get out of bed to go to work. That's an actual mental health disorder, right? We just feel like, oh, well, that's just life, right? My mama went through the same thing. Like, that's just how it is. And so I think sometimes, again, that lack of information, that we just think that's normal, or we don't know that there's something out there that can actually help us with that particular problem. And specifically with depression, it's actually called the common cold of mental illness, because it's likely to hit more of us than not. So many of us will experience those things that, you know, from mild to severe, at some point in our lives. Like, if you just live, you're probably going to experience something that you just can't manage, even if it's just for a short period of time. And that's when, you know, reaching out for help is okay.
And I like talking about depression because of the fact that I'm trying to speak out about depression, because I want people to stop using depression just in a sentence. You know, they, oh, I'm depressed, and they keep walking. Like, it's just a, it's like a word now, just, I'm depressed. Oh, I got anxiety. And it's like, no one take you seriously, because it's just part of what you say all the time. And it's like, stop just, you wake up, oh, I'm depressed, and you keep on moving. Like, no, it's not just a word. It has a meaning behind it. You know, it's not just a, just people use it as just, it's just a word, but it's serious. It has,
and it can have consequences.
And it's a serious word. So, you know, I ask that people, if you are depressed or if you have anxiety, if you really do truly have it, you need to reach out to people and stop making it your everyday word, you know, just in conversation. You get on the phone with your friend, girl, I'm so depressed, but I'm cooking some pork chops tonight. Like, you just said that word without even, like, you just blow right off your mouth. And it, like, no, stop just throwing that word around. Like, it has some meaning to it. So just stop throwing that word around, you know. Respect the word, basically.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Respect it. I had another question. We kind of hit on it too, saying, you know, why are people in fear of trusting the process? And like you were saying, like we were saying, you know, about the, about the education background, you know, so many people just saying that they life coaches, and people are starting to, I mean, I'm actually glad, see, this is how you take a negative and flip it. I'm actually glad that people are starting to say the word more. So whenever you say that you are a life coach, now I don't say that I'm a life coach. I say that I'm a coach that deals with depression. So, like, I flip that word around, because people, you know, they kind of make that word a negative thing. Like, you know, you say you're a life coach, they roll their eyes like, oh, here go another one. And it's like, okay.
Full of talk.
Like, oh, you just going to get paid to give advice. No, it's way deeper than that. You know, I flip it around and say, no, I'm a coach of depression. I'm a coach of mental illness. I'm a, you know, I'm a coach of food or health, you know, like, no, I'm a coach. I don't just say I'm a life coach, you know. So I flip that word around. So that's why I think people, you know, kind of fear that process because of
it. And two, you know, therapy is not necessarily easy. You know, when we talk about, I hear this more often now, breaking generational curses and things like that. But if you're really digging into the things that can make you healthier, it's not always easy or comfortable.
It's not.
And it does take work. It does take effort. And so I think there can be fear about that too.
Right? You don't want to open.
Like, it's going to be too painful for me. It's going to be so uncomfortable. And again, what if I never get the answers that I need? Or what if I don't get better? Like, I don't just want to cry every time I see my therapist, but it doesn't get better, right? So, you know, those kinds of things, I think, make it to where people don't really follow through. Even those who may go see a counselor, at the first sign of trouble, they turn around. Because it's easier just to give up on it than, than to push through, right? So all of us who've ever tried to lose weight, you know, we eat healthy for like 2 days, or we work out for that first week, but as soon as, you know what I'm saying, we hit that plateau, we're like, oh, okay, I tried that, but it didn't work. Because it's difficult, you know what I'm saying? And it takes motivation, it takes intentionality.
Constant.
And you've got to have those qualities to push through and mm-hmm. to know that it's worth pushing through.
Yeah. And it's a lifestyle change.
Right.
But just think about it, you know, with you going through all of this, remember you had that, so your lifestyle, so think about it as this. You had that lifestyle of being depressed, angry, mad.
Broke up.
Mm-hmm. And think about the years that you felt like that. And think about when you go see a counselor, how you're going to feel when you get done seeing that counselor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can just, I tell people to kind of think in the future. You know, some people say, you know, I don't like to do that what if thinking. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to counseling or life coaching, it's like, think about the future. Think about where you want to be. And so, therefore, it keeps you moving towards something.
Right.
Versus, you know, not thinking about nothing at all. You're just stuck in that past. You know, think
right.
about. And that's one of the difference between therapy is therapists, you know, they break up, you know, the past of things because, you know, they're healing. They're trying to heal. Mm-hmm. Versus, you know, a coach, we're more in present day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't go far back and try. I mean, unless, you know, that person want to open up to that.
Yeah.
But we're more present day and trying to help you fix what's going on with you right now
right.
to move you forward from that present moment to, you know, to where you're trying to be versus trying to open up, you know, past history and things like that. So that's yeah. one of the difference between, you know, therapists mm-hmm. and coaching. Not
yeah.
saying one is right or wrong. Everyone's
right.
different.
Depends on what you need. And I tell a lot of people, you know, typically mental health practitioners, their focus is on that mental health piece
uh-huh.
and usually things like symptom management.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the depression, if you're crying so much that you can't get out of bed and
mm-hmm.
go to work, they're focused on that symptom yep. management
mm-hmm.
and that mental health assessment to figure out what's going to help you
yep.
get better.
Yep.
Whereas life coaching is more about being at a fairly stable place, but action oriented to reach that next higher level of, you know, whatever accomplishment or health is for you.
Okay. And I had another question. What's the best way to educate a needy population who refuses to think mental health is serious? Quotations, Black community.
Well, I think you have to make it relevant for people. I think you have to provide some of that information that breaks down the fear, the things that people don't know about that they're afraid of. So you've got to provide enough information to break down those walls.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to make it relevant for people.
Yeah.
You know, if they don't feel like this applies to them, they're never going to take advantage
You're
of
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't think I'm overweight or unhealthy, why would I go on a diet? Why would
yeah.
I start eating healthy, right?
Yeah.
So you've definitely got to take that particular population and say, how can I make this relevant for them?
You're right.
Because each population is going to be different.
Yeah, and you got to remember, too, that you can't fix everybody.
Yeah.
Some people, I don't want to say this in the wrong way, but, hey, I'm going to be real. Some people you just can't fix, and you just got to.
Some people don't want to be fixed. I mean,
yeah.
that's. Because it takes you wanting it for it to work.
Yeah, you're right. And some people want it, but it's something that's holding them back
mm-hmm.
from it.
Right.
You know, and but then again, it's still some people that it just, you can't fix them.
Yeah.
And that's when us as being professionals, we have to know how to refer them to different people. You know,
right.
We have to know how to say, okay, we can't do it. So
you may need something.
You might,
yeah.
Yeah, we can't do it,
right.
and we have to help hold ourselves accountable
mm-hmm.
to that. You know, so we let y'all know that if we can't fix you, we're gonna refer you to someone else that can fix you because you came to us with the issue, and we want you to be healthy and get what it is that you need. So let's refer you to someone else versus, you know, hey, I can't fix you, so it stops here.
Right.
No.
If I can't help you. And I think, too, from the perspective of the client, that we really need to approach this mental health like we do restaurants, right? Like, if I go to, well, this happened to me recently. I went to this place and had some catfish, and I was like, I don't know why this person recommended this place to me.
They just found catfish.
But I didn't just stop eating catfish, right? Next time, I'm going to just go to another restaurant. And so I hear so many people who say, oh, I tried that counseling, and it didn't work, and that person didn't help me. Well, that was that person, or that was that particular point in your life.
Yeah.
try again, right? You just gonna stop eating catfish? Or probably not, right? You're gonna go somewhere else and get some different pie or whatever. So, you know, we've got to value our health in that same way. Again, like we were talking about earlier, if that person wasn't a good fit, try it again.
Yes.
If your life is worth it to you, try it again.
Yes, and your life is worth it. Don't you guys want to be happy? And I'm not saying that we're always happy. We're women, number one. We're women. So that's how we can relate a lot. Everything is not always peaches and cream.
Right.
That's just bottom line. And don't think that, you know, just because you see us that everything is happy. And I think that's what one of the fear comes to. Mm-hmm. You know, people think that because we are what, you know, we are us and we do what we do, that it's like, oh, they happy and I don't want them to know anything negative about me.
Right.
Because of the fact that, you know, they may look down on me.
Right.
And it's like, no, we have our problems too.
Yeah.
And luckily, you know, when you're in this community, we can go to each other and talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we feedback and bounce back and accountability right. off each other. So
yeah.
Don't think that, you know, we wake up in the daytime and it's just like, oh, my feet on the ground, I'm running.
Right.
We might get up in the morning like, I'm not feeling it today.
Not feeling it, yeah.
I'm just not feeling mm-hmm. it today.
We're human like, too.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, perfection isn't the goal. Like, that's not even the goal of going to counseling. Health is not perfection. So we often think that those things are the same thing. They're not synonymous. When we say healthy, we mean being in a good place, being able to
yes.
understand and manage when you have tough times, being able to, when you're in a storm, recognize that
yes.
this storm is going to end.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Those kinds of things are what make you healthy, but it's not about reaching for perfection.
Yes.
I'm a perfectionist. I did say that. But it's not about, you know, cognitively, I know that nothing in life is going to be perfect. And going to counseling is not about reaching perfection.
Yes, I'm glad you said that about the healthy part, because of the fact that whenever I was going through my health coaching, I realized that you can eat right, you can do whatever right, but if this right here ain't together, it doesn't even matter, because
yeah.
you know, you can eat healthy and like you can start losing that weight and then get depressed. What you think that weight gonna do?
Hmm.
You gonna start eating up stuff that go to anxiety eating. So if this right here ain't together, so
right.
that's where a lot of my health, and that's how I incorporated my health with my mental, because I was like, this has to be together first before you can look sexy. You know, it's a lot of models out there, a size 0 to 2.
And they're still not happy.
And they're not happy.
And they're not healthy either.
No, and they're not. We call those skinny fat. That's what we call them. They're skinny but got high cholesterol and everything along with them.
Right.
I ain't saying you ain't cute though, because you are in a size 2 or
right.
you know. But still, you know, it's nothing healthy if this is not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
When it begins here, it begins with the mental, you know. It,
right.
That has to be healthy in order. And you have to love yourself.
Yes.
Like, if you don't love yourself, no one else will. And
right.
And that falls off of you. You know, you can walk in a room and have confidence and everyone know it, and you can walk in a room with low self-esteem and everyone knows it.
True.
So, yeah.
You know, and even that, you know, is not about thinking that you're perfect, right?
Yes.
It's about, hey, I know, you know, my whatever, I got 2 different color skin tones, but I'm still confident. You know what
yes.
I'm saying? It's
yes.
about being able to accept that. Those imperfections that you have and knowing
yes.
that that's just a part of being human.
Yes. Ladies, I'm going to give y'all a good tip. Whenever you walk into a room and you're nervous, this is one of the things. I told you, I like to have fun. I try to relate things. Whenever I walk into a room and I know it's a crowded room, I pick one chair.
Hmm.
I pick a chair and I say, I'm going to walk to that chair
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to sit down and cross my legs
okay.
like I own this room. So yeah, I pick that one chair and I walk to that chair, sit down and cross my legs, and I just sit there. And you can just feel everyone looking at you, and that right there, it just empowers me. Like all eyes are on me because
mm-hmm.
I just sat in this chair. All I did was sit in the chair.
Right. Like you're sitting on the throne. Right. You just
all
like
I was sitting in the chair. But yeah, I walked like I had my mindset on that one chair, so I didn't think about no one looking at me, or you know, if my walk could have been off, they could have been looking at me because I didn't know how to walk.
Right.
But it didn't matter to me. I picked that one thing, and that built my confidence. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but you know, it's just little bitty things like that will boost your confidence, and You know, and I have clients tell me, you know, if they did that, and, you know, and they giggled inside when they sat down, because mm-hmm. they was like, yeah, I feel everybody looking at me, and I was like, how did it make you feel? That was like, it made me feel good inside, and I mean, I just try to, like, to relate little bitty simple things and make them, like, big things, because you don't have to walk into a room with, like, this big ball gown and then all eyes on you. You don't have to do all of that. Mm-hmm. You ain't got the money to do it.
Right.
You ain't got to do it.
Amen.
It's a chair in the room. Go sit in that chair.
Right.
So try to relate things like that.
I like that. I'm going to do that next time I come to
sit on my throne.
And,
right. And, yes. And that got me to sit at the front of classrooms or whenever I go places. Like, I like, if it's an open chair in the front, my kids get, oh, they get mad.
Oh, I know they do.
Oh, they get mad at me. Oh, they get mad. Mommy, you gotta sit up here.
Yeah.
I'm like, baby, because mama's walking up here. That's why we sitting up here. Uh-huh. So it got me to actually sit at the front versus sitting at the back, because you can pay me to sit at the front. It just wasn't gonna happen. Let's see. Must have willpower and desire to want change. Change is scary but necessary. So true, Ms. Owens. It is necessary. I mean, you change from a child to an adult.
Yeah.
And so it's necessary. It has to be done. Like I take this back. Your body changed from a child to an adult.
Right, but not necessarily the mind.
Not necessarily the mind, but it's something that has to be done. Your body had to change. It evolved with you. So, I mean, that's what you did. So it's necessary, to do.
And that's the cognitive piece too. The even knowing that you should embrace change and looking forward to change as what's today going to bring, right? What new thing might I be exposed to today?
Yeah.
Versus, like, really, how bored would we be if every day was the same?
And if everybody was the same,
right?
You.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not waking up today.
Now, what about my bank account? If it were larger, to live the same.
Now you're talking. Look, now you're peeing. Now you're talking. Yeah, I'm not waking up today. I already know what today looked like. It's cloudy outside. She got on black. He got on red.
Right.
I'm not getting up today.
Whole thing.
Yeah. So, embrace. I like that.
Yeah, got to embrace it.
Yeah, I like that. That's awesome. You guys, I thank you for, sending in questions. Thank you for tuning in live, talking with us. But the questions don't stop. Even continue messaging us, Facebooking us. Both of us are on Facebook. We're on Messenger. We're on Instagram. Look, we're on social media.
Right, we out there.
Yeah, we out there. So the questions don't stop. Feel free to ask those questions, And don't be afraid. This is what this was about, having that breaking through that stigma, because the stigma's out there, but it's time to break that cycle.
Right.
Don't settle for my mom went through it, so this is part of me, this is what I go through. Well, if your mama was Poe, you just want to be Poe too.
Amen.
No, you want bad. You want more for yourself,
Right.
If your mama didn't have no teeth, you just want more teeth too. No teeth.
Right. And because we're out here, your girlfriend is cool for asking questions, or your sister-in-law, or your brother-in-law, your homeboy, but it's folks out here that got information, got trained with the school, racked up a lot of debt. You know what I'm saying? Just to get the information to help you be healthier.
To let you know serious
about it.
Access
the resources. That's what we're here for.
Yes, the resources. Access the resources.
Right.
Hashtag access the resources. Yes, but again, I thank everybody for tuning in. And like I say, the questions don't stop. You can reach me at meekminds.com, ebonyspeaks.com. You can reach me on Instagram, Facebook at ebonyspeaks. You can reach Ms. Dr. Tisley Medley on Instagram, Facebook, and
Twitter. New Day. New Day Psych Coach, NEWDAYPSYCCOACH. New Day Psych Coach.
Booyah. Mm-hmm. Until next time, love you all. Bye.
Bye.